is the Cliffo and Bronte podcast.
Here we are for a brand new week of Cliffo and Bronte podcasts. Hello, 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 friends.
Hi, hello, Merry Christmas. I say that to you because you are in the Christmas spirit.
Thank you very much. I will say I got my first Merry Christmas. I received my first Merry Christmas from ex-colleague over the weekend. Oh, Cass, who used to work here.
Okay.
So, but it was good because we saw each other in a shop.
Yes.
And we were standing in the Christmas section.
Okay.
And we probably won't see each other again before Christmas. We're just sort of casual acquaintances. And she just was like, oh, if I don't see you, Merry Christmas. And I'm like, Merry Christmas.
Doesn't it just fill you with so much joy when you get your first Merry Christmas?
I noticed that Woolies too have filled up the fridge with legs of ham.
Yes, they have indeed. Yeah. So that was a really nice thing that you had over the weekend. I personally like on the podcast when you didn't have a great weekend because of what your son put in the laundry sink.
I won't have speaking of what you liked about, you know, what I brought, what I liked about what you brought. Well, I liked you a bit less because you threw me mate Stace.
Oh, Stace.
Yeah, beautiful mother under the bus. And I've always said she's my fave Langbrook.
Look, she's the best of us, but for some reason, like many parents out there, never believes when their child is sick or injured.
Even if that child is
in hospital.
And 30 years old. By the way, what sort of mummy issues are going on there?
Oh, like, we haven't got enough time.
We need mum's approval that you're sick at 30 years old. Like, what's happening?
My therapist will hear about it later.
On, right? It's all coming up, that and Can You Beat Bronte Redemption Round, Clickbait Cliffo, Once Upon a Crime. It's all coming up, the Cliffo and Bronte podcast.
No doo-doo talk, okay? This is serious stuff on this show because on Friday I had one of the best and worst days of my life.
And that was all before 9 a.m.
Many people in Australia, there was a limited release of tickets for a little unknown artist by the name of Taylor Swift. Around 100,000 tickets, they believe, were going to be up for grabs for the 7 shows that Miss Swift has on the Eras Tour in Australia next year.
Dodged Queensland.
We're still mad about it, Tay.
Sydney and Melbourne, but whatever, mate. Just pick one little pocket of the country. We're fine.
I can't be mad at her because of the 4 shows in Sydney. So that was they went on sale at 9 a.m. on Friday morning. I was in the studio with you, half paying attention, as I am most days. Decided
the old,
to just
sign off was a bit more average than normal. Come 8:55.
Decided
on Friday
to
morning.
Just try through the Ticketek app, as many people did. They were sold out within an hour. Like, the Ticketek was just gone. And so someone had messaged me to say, if you really want tickets, you're going to have to go line up and get them the old school way at a Ticketek window. And lucky we live in a town that actually has one, because there's many people that don't. And
mind you, we had to Google pretty hard to find it.
And I've walked past it 1,000 times in this shop. It's in a shopping centre.
Yeah, it's tiny.
Tiny.
Blink and you miss it.
You wouldn't look for it if you weren't, you know, actually, you wouldn't see it if you weren't looking for it. And so Friday, finished the show, missed out on Sydney tickets. That's all right. My preference was always Melbourne. Decided I was going to take this person's advice and go line up for the tickets at a Ticketek window. Got there 2 hours before the tickets went on sale, so around 1:30. They were going on sale at 4 or 3.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I didn't know that. So they go online before they do the physical tickets.
No. So Sydney was on sale at 9 a.m. and you could line up for those tickets.
Okay.
And then the Melbourne was 3 p.m.
So round two, your thought pattern was, I won't even try online.
Exactly.
I'll just try a line.
Physical. And I got there and there was already people there camped out, Cliffo, like camper chairs. I'll put a photo up on our Instagram.
Lighting fires in the middle of the shopping centre.
Honestly, if we didn't get tickets, it would have gone to that. And so then 3 o'clock, it starts and the line starts moving very, very, very slowly. I'm about 30th in line at this point.
Are people cheering? And like,
no, it's very tense.
Okay.
Very not a lot of excitement. Right. Everyone's just really anxious.
Sunrise always makes those lines look pretty lively.
But turns out this is the way to go, because after multiple days of trying hours spent on the Ticketek website in that stupid lounge, I can confirm I got Taylor Swift tickets!
Wow.
Look, they're the partially obstructed ones. I probably won't even be able to see her, but I'll be there.
Bronte's gonna have a great view of some overweight guy's backside, but it's gonna be a great night. I mentioned before the song there that the name Charlie is a bit of a bitter name on my lips at the moment after an incident across the weekend involving my four-year-old son, Charlie.
That's weird because I got a video from you on the weekend. Looked like you were having great family time.
Oh, yeah.
Setting up all the Christmas decos. Yeah. What
and you
wrong?
Sent me a photo of yourself alone with a glass of wine. So it was a typical weekend at the Clifton and the Langbrook residences. So that was on Saturday. I was texting you.
Yeah.
But the real drama started on Sunday morning when it became the day. That was the day to tackle Mount Washmore. Loads of washing. And I noticed that when the washing machine was emptying, it empties straight into our laundry sink, which is right next to it.
Yep.
It doesn't have the little hole thing. Do you know what I mean? So the little... You know how some of the laundry things have a little hole and you put a little U-shaped thing in so the water goes down there?
Yeah.
You probably don't.
I don't.
Ours has to go straight into the sink, right? But it was filling up and the water was draining out really slowly, like out of the sink. I'm like, what's
something's
what's
in there.
So I lift up the little grate thing where the plug sits on because that comes – it's an old sink.
Mm.
So because that comes out and I'm like, what's going in there? And I'm thinking, like, if it was the bathroom my wife uses, it'd be hair.
Yeah, right, okay.
If it was the shower, it'd be hair. There'd be something in there. But what's going in there? I reach in there and I find what has been blocking our drain, what has been blocking the pipe is a Hot Wheels Batmobile. My son and my daughter play this little game. They think it's cute. I think it's dangerous. Where Matilda will, like, lift Charlie into things. Like, might be a laundry basket.
Yep.
Or, you know, the laundry sink is a great example. Like, Dad, come and look.
Look, Charlie's in the sink.
Charlie's in the laundry sink.
Oh,
and all
no.
I can think is, like, while he was in there one time, he's had a Batman, like a Batmobile, Hot Wheels Batmobile. So he's lifted the grate and gone, oh, I know a place I'll put, like a dog hiding a bone.
Oh, no.
He's like, I'll put that in there for safekeeping.
Knowing Charlie, as you do, is this the type of situation?
Can confirm.
That he
do you know my son?
He would have done it and then panicked and not told you or just genuinely forgot he put it there?
He would not have given two
Fs.
Like, you give him way too much credit. He just would have done it and gone, whatever.
Yeah, okay.
Next thing I can destroy.
Oh, no.
13-10-60 got me thinking, what got stuck down a drain? Could be a drain on the inside of your house. That's why they've got that little U-bend there.
Yes.
So if you drop your jewelry or whatever, you can collect it.
Yep.
Or I was thinking, often you have those little drain outlets, like stormwater things and all that, like in the back of your house.
Mm-hmm.
Could be an inside drain, outside drain. Doesn't matter.
Things not meant to be there.
13-10-60, what got stuck down the drain? Jewelry, Hot Wheels, Batmobiles. 13-10-60. Who else has had this? Izzy's first. Izzy, what got stuck down a drain?
16 golf balls.
That's a lot of golf balls. Who's the culprit?
So I have three nephews, and this is before I had children. So we were babysitting them. And they were outside just having a little play because they were being quite rowdy inside.
Mm.
I had to go inside very briefly to get something. And as you do, the minute you turn your back, the kids go really quiet. And then I went back outside and noticed how quiet they had been, but didn't take much thought into it. Then went and did a load of washing. And in a very similar situation to yours, Cliffo, the plug started to bubble over with bubbles and water, and I thought, what is going on here? So I looked at the drain and I could see there was something in there, so I called out to hubby and he came and had a look, and slowly we managed to fish out 16 golf balls one at a time. So
I'll tell you what, if they had chipped them in there or putted them in there,
you would have been impressed.
Very impressed. We've just put them in. Lazy. 13-10-60, Ray, what got stuck down the drain?
Well, first, I just want to say, as a mother of four children, Charlie's guilty.
Oh, my God, yeah. Ray! You are not the judge and jury.
Bronte won't have it, Ray.
My son, we had similar situation, but we couldn't work out why the drains were bubbling all the time. We went and bought, like, hardcore Drainos and nothing was working. And it was my partner's day off one day, and he's like, I'm just going to go outside and lift the grate off and just see if there's anything in there.
Fish around.
Oh, my God. Trampoline springs. There were Hot Wheel cars, trampoline springs. There were, like, balls. There was so much stuff down there. I don't even It's just, you can't comprehend.
It's like kids think it's a void, like that it just goes somewhere.
And look, I will. Drano's pretty good. Don't know if it works on trampoline springs. Nikki, what'd you find down the drain?
Good morning, Dora and Boots. My daughter was sitting next to the drain. I said, oh, darling, did you put something in there? And she said, yes, Dora and Boots, but don't worry, they're holding hands.
Aww. So it's Dora the Explorer, and Boots is the little monkey from memory?
Yes. Yeah.
As long as they're holding hands.
Yeah, they're in it together.
Tracy, we're going to end on you. What did you find in the drain?
Hey, how are you?
Hey,
hey Trace.
Okay, so I've got a grandson that's almost two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have these steps that he can walk up to the sink, and he's fascinated with helping with the dishes.
Yeah.
So he's helping with the dishes. Next minute I hear him cry, and I turn around, and he's got his finger stuck in the drain. He's taken the lid off. I've taken the plug out and put his finger in. And so when coming out, of course, it's ripped his skin.
So that's where he lives now. He's at the sink, and it's a great happy life.
This next segment may contain material that could be upsetting or triggering and may not be for little ears.
911, what is your emergency?
Very horrific crime.
Once upon a crime.
You know, a case and a crime is going to be really, really interesting when almost 100 years on from it, it's still considered one of the most puzzling, forgotten crimes. And that is what Gemma Barth and the team at Mamma Mia's True Crime Conversations are looking into this week, Gemma.
Yeah, we're taking you back to 1927, New Year's Eve. And a young woman by the name of Ethel Griggs comes home to her husband in Victoria, and within 48 hours, she's dead. It sounds like the start of a movie, doesn't it? And it doesn't end there in terms of blockbuster feels, because she's buried a day later, and then 2 weeks later, they find enough arsenic in her stomach when they exhume her body to kill an entire family.
Whoa!
What? Okay.
So, there's a tagline for you.
Yeah.
Let's just go with the facts here again, because that's a lot that we just learned. So
I know.
New Year's Eve, 1927, the Roaring Twenties.
Yeah.
Ethel Griggs returns home with a daughter, did you say?
Yeah, so she's got a young daughter. They've been away for 6 months.
Right.
So they actually left when the daughter was, I'm going to say, 1 or 2 months old, really young, because she'd asked her husband for a divorce and he denied her, because back then you could. You could be like, nah, we're not getting a divorce. So instead, he told her to go home to her family in Tasmania for 6 months and have a think, about a long, hard think about their marriage. And the reason she asked for a divorce in the first place is because she found out he was having an affair with a woman in town, and basically everyone knew it. They saw them kind of getting about town, and so when she called him out, he went, nah, it's not happening. Off you go back to Tasmania for a while. And while she was gone, he continued having said affair.
And then she came back, and as you mentioned, just 48 hours later, dead with arsenic. So for people that don't know, what exactly is arsenic?
Poison, basically. And it sounds like, you know, a cut and dry kind of murder case, but arsenic is really hard to prove. It's really hard to prove that someone has been murdered with it.
Okay.
So, you know, she could have accidentally taken it. She could have been slipped it on the way home in a tea. Like, it's not like you've got a bloodied knife and you can tell they've been stabbed kind of thing. So poison is a really a really hard one to prove.
I've heard too, arsenic's quite hard to taste as well, so you don't necessarily know when you're ingesting it. Does this story have closure, or is the conclusion wide open?
Well, depends who you ask, but basically her husband is charged with murder. He goes to trial. It's the biggest crime case in Australia at the time. Like, there are hundreds, thousands of people crowded outside the courtroom. It's like the biggest thing they've ever experienced. They're absolutely lapping it up. He goes to trial. A 12-jury strong trial finds they couldn't reach a verdict, basically.
Wow.
They were like, we don't know whether he's guilty or not. They do a retrial. He's found not guilty.
Oh.
And that's kind of where it ended. So he does become a bit of a pariah because everyone kind of reads between the lines and goes, well, I mean, you might have been found not guilty, but we're not sure, buddy.
Yeah.
So he kind of goes off and lives a very quiet life in the shadows. But, you know, it is pretty still open-ended. There was no guilty verdict.
It's such a shame, especially for, I imagine, Ethel's daughter, Alwyn, who grew up and had to know that her father possibly did this to her mother.
Well, I'm getting teacher's pet vibes, guys.
Yeah.
It is the poisoning of Ethel Griggs this week, True Crime Conversations, wherever you get your podcasts. Gemma Barth, thank you so much for your time. Have a great week.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Is Clickbait Cliffo on Hit.
This is where I click the clickbait so you don't have to. And one that nearly passed the keeper.
Yeah, because I actually saw this article. It's on a website that you and I both peruse when we get in the morning. And I didn't click it because I was like, well, surely Clickbait Cliffo's going to click that one.
It was very awkward where in the morning meetings, Bronte and I were pitching the same content, then realised we're stealing it from the same website.
Yeah.
But the headline today, this is on Template.
Yep. The project.
Like the project.
Mm.
Unspoken footpath rule supposedly reveals if your boyfriend truly loves you.
Yep.
And this story is all based off one TikTok video.
Of course.
From an American influencer. So it must be true. This is the sidewalk rule, or the footpath rule. All right, have a listen.
The sidewalk rule is when a man walks on the outside of the sidewalk closest to the cars. Mm. It's because women want to feel protected by their man. And by him moving her to the inside of the sidewalk, it indicates that he cares about her safety and that he wants to protect her. And that ticks a box deep in our brain that tells us that he's a safe man who cares for us.
Well, she gets some, it.
There is some. You can't see this because it's radio, but there is some serious cringe happening opposite me.
I don't like it. I don't like anyone telling me where I can or can't walk. I don't think boyfriend Dylan follows this rule, but often
because you're not a dog, Bronte.
But it's more like I don't. It baffles me. I don't think that it determines whether or not your boyfriend loves you or not, whether or not he is in the way of oncoming traffic. Mostly Dylan and I are walking.
Wrong. A TikTok has said it. You're wrong.
I'm always in front of him because I'm actually walking a bit faster than him.
So really,
it's just if he can keep up with me, I know he loves me.
For me and the small children in our family, how we show we love my wife is just by
sprinting.
Trying to keep up with her. Please slow down. And I believe in second chances.
And I'm Bronte, and I just want to win again.
Can you beat Bronte? Redemption round.
All right, here it is. It's a battle of the ages, a battle of the duds, and $500 on the line for the people's dud on Friday, Bronte.
Correct. Our first two contestants hoping to become the carryover champ. Contestant number one, Brad, good morning.
Morning, how you going?
Yeah, pretty good. How's the collapsed lung?
Yeah, good. Busted out of there on Friday, mate. Making a full recovery.
Thank God, you've been in hospital for a while, brother.
yeah, it was.
Talk about kicking a dog while it's down. Bronte did not care
that
you were in hospital when she took you on. You only got one right, so we want to improve on that today.
Yeah, that's correct. I think I got two, didn't I? Come on.
Well, guys. We've got here.
Says one on my sheet, brother. That's what we're running with.
We don't want that back chat, and we don't want it from Dave either, who is your competitor today. Dave, the aquarium fish guy who went down 5-0. How have you recovered from that, Dave?
Look, it's been a tough process, but I've managed to work through it.
proud of you. I'm proud of you.
He rocks himself to sleep in the shower every night, but he's here. And you've come back, guys. $500 on the line, but you have to be our champion on Friday. You have to be our people's dad and a potential $1,000 if you can beat Bronte the next week. So Brad's our first player today.
Yep.
So that means we're going to put Dave
in the soundproof booth.
In the soundproof booth. Bye, Dave.
Bye, Dave.
See ya.
Back soon with Dave. You got Brad, Bronte, all yours.
All right, Brad. Your time will start at the end of the first question. You've obviously got 5 questions in 30 seconds. You ready?
Oh, sure I am.
All right. What vitamin does the sun help the skin produce?
Vitamin D.
What is the main alcohol in a Cosmopolitan?
Vodka.
What is the biggest island in the world?
America.
How many days are in a leap year?
356.
Which 2002 horror film features a haunted videotape?
Scream.
Okay.
I don't want to give too much away, but I'm going to say started strong.
Started very strong.
But don't say anything else because we're taking Dave out of soundproofing. Dave, can you hear us?
I can.
Hey, Dave. Okay. All right. You'll have the same 5 questions, the same 30 seconds. Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right.
You got to say time starts now, by the way.
I'm so sorry. Dave, your time starts now. What vitamin does the sun help the skin produce?
Say that again.
What vitamin does the sun help the skin produce?
Vitamin D.
What is the main alcohol in a Cosmopolitan?
Vodka.
What is the biggest island in the world?
Australia.
How many days are in a leap year?
364.
Which 2002 horror film features a haunted videotape?
A haunted videotape. Pass.
The last one.
I don't know.
Okay, well.
It's okay.
Let's go through the answers, shall we, Cliffo? Question number one.
Oh, I think I know now.
Okay.
Too late.
I'll get there. What vitamin does the sun help the skin produce? It is vitamin D. You both got that correct. What is the main alcohol in a Cosmopolitan? It is vodka. You both got that correct. What is the biggest island in the world? Brad said the USA. That's incorrect. And Dave said Australia. That's also incorrect. It is Greenland. So you're both still on two. How many days are in a leap year, boys? Brad said 356 and Dave said 364. It's 366. You both got it wrong. And the horror film is The Ring. It's not Scream, which Brad said. So, and pass from Dave. Two each.
Day one. And it's coming.
We're doing well.
Tiebreaker. So how this works is, guys, Bronte's going to ask one question. Buzz in with your name. If you're first to buzz in, get one shot. Get it right, you win. Get it wrong, you're instantly disqualified. Bronte Langbrook.
Okay.
Over to you.
The bonus question is, fish oil is a good source of what?
Dave.
Omega-3.
That is absolutely correct.
Bloody well done.
From 5-0.
Dave.
You did it.
And Dave, you actually got 2 right in the first round. Plus, that's 3, mate. Effectively,
yeah,
none to 3.
Fact check that Greenland one, eh?
Protest.
True. We just asked the questions, mate, and you'll be back tomorrow as our carryover champ.
Rightio. Same questions?
Brad. No, you... what a dud question to ask, mate. Trust me, Brad. Brad, it was fun. I'm glad you're out of hospital, Brad.
Yes, feel better.
Thanks,
legend.
From the worst to the worst. I got it.
Yes.
Well, I don't know if there's going to be a battle of the dud-duds, Brad, but if there is, you're up there. Dave, we'll meet you same time tomorrow. That $500 Woo! Could be all yours Friday morning, only on Hit Breakfast. Alpha Bucks back tomorrow, Tuesday, the 14th of November, with that gorilla $1,000 on the line.
Gorilla?
Yeah, haven't you heard that before?
They call $1,000 a gorilla.
Maybe. I do. Just did. Go with it. It's like fetch on Mean Girls. It's going to be a thing.
It's not going to be a thing, but it could be.
Righto, Regina George.
Win the $1,000. And I feel like they've gotten a bit tougher, these questions, the last couple of weeks. So luckily, the clues are getting tougher as well.
Yeah.
Because Ella Bache is the free answer.
Oh.
Right?
So E will be our letter.
E the letter, maybe
be
like.
A beautician.
Beautician, a shop.
Starting with E. Yeah.
Ella Bache.
Ella Bache.
Mm.
All right. Well, go. Get yourself beautiful.
Yes.
Get that free clue. Remember it for tomorrow's Alpha Bucks on Hit.
Today is the first day I feel completely like on the other side of whatever crazy flu or illness seems to be just reverberating around Queensland at the moment. We've talked about that cruise ship docking that has like the gastro and the COVID and everyone's getting sick at the moment. It is... It's not
apparently
even winter.
There's a new strain of COVID.
Lovely.
Which some patients are showing up to the doctors with that and the gastro.
Oh.
So that's just a fun time for all.
It's really fun. And I don't know why. I don't know if your parents are the same. I don't know if it's a generational thing, Cliffo. Even as a 30-year-old woman who was verbally sick, like you could hear how sick I was, my mum still questions my illness. She still questions whether or not I'm sick.
And well, this is hard for me because I was here and I did witness how sick you are.
Yes, I know.
But Stace is by far my favourite Langbrook. I like her a lot more
this
than you.
This is Sophie's choice for you.
So
I know.
This is, I think I'm going to have to side with Stace.
No!
I don't think I can go against her.
I don't know why. I feel like people of our generation, our parents, were the type of parents that were like, if you're sick, you just power through. You just go to school.
Well,
you got to work.
Our parents' generation could have severed a leg.
Yeah.
And their poor parents would have said, it's just a flesh wound. Yeah. Off you go.
Rub some dirt in it.
Yeah. Put some Dettol on it.
Yes.
You'll be fine.
It's just so crazy to me because now we live in an age that is much more receptive to obviously taking the time off to be sick or injured or whatever it is if you are clearly displaying the symptoms. And it just got me thinking because it is something that I feel like I've lived with for many, many years, you know, my mum always questioning whether or not I'm actually sick.
Mm.
On 131060, when was your illness questioned or when did someone not believe that you were sick or you would hurt yourself? Because I feel like there's some great stories of people like breaking a bone and their parents just being like, you're fine.
Come on, you're fine.
Exactly.
I've told you mine very quickly. It was from grade 12 PE, or grade 10 PE, I think it was. And it was a mate of mine, Glenn. We were playing futsal. He tripped over and broke his collarbone. But at the time, Mr. Wright, who was the old, like, old school teacher, was like, come on, son, walk it off.
A collarbone?
You're a big guy. And I'll never forget the image of Glenn being wheeled into the back of the ambulance, giggling, because by then he was sucking on the green whistle. I don't know what they put in green whistles, but Glenn went from tears to happiness.
Yep.
But I'll never forget the image of Mr. Wright being like, come on, son.
Yes.
Up you get.
Come on, you can, it's fine.
Wasn't that bad? I saw the fall.
Exactly.
I'm like, I heard the crack, Mr. Wright.
I know what's going on. I know I feel unwell. I know I've hurt myself. It's hard as a kid to try and, I guess, get that across to your parents. So parents are like, you're fine. So
it's hard as a kid, says 30-year-old Bronte Langbrook.
I tried so hard. I even, like, put the voice a bit more on for mum. I'm really sick. Still didn't believe me.
131060. Lisa, when was an illness or an injury questioned in your life?
So I was in year 10 at high school, and we were doing some volleyball stuff in PE, and I fell down on my foot really on a weird angle and broke it.
Oh.
My teacher basically thought I was putting it on, sent me home. My mum then thought basically, you know, walk it off, you're fine. They took me to, we're in a small country town over here, and they took me in to get an x-ray. They said, nothing's there, you're fine. So for 5 months, I walked around on this foot, trying to play touch football, netball, Lisa. Everything, thinking it was just me. I was in excruciating pain just to put my shoe on.
And so confirm for us, it was a what broken ankle or?
It was actually the like my little toe, like right up on the side there.
Oh, just a little toe.
No, regularly.
You sure, Les? Just walk it off. Just a little toe.
Mate.
Not even a big toe, Les. Carrie's here. Carrie, when was a illness or injury questioned?
It wasn't me. It was my son.
Mm-hmm.
He had gone fishing in the morning with his dad. And as they do, playing and what have you, and he come home limping. And he goes, oh, Mum, my foot's killing me. I said, mate, it's probably just a sprain. How about you take a couple of Panadol, have a hot shower. If you feel the same way in the morning, we'll take you to the doctor. Yep, he was still throbbing all night.
No.
So I took him to the doctor in the morning. He had 4 broken bones. Oh, mother of the year.
Okay, we've had to drop Kerry there.
Yes.
Little naughty word, but that's all right. Do you want to risk it and go live with Bianca?
Let's do it.
Bianca, please be on your best behavior. Oh, Belinda it is, sorry. Belinda, be on your best behavior here for us. No curse words, but answer the question for us. When was your injury or illness questioned?
Well, it was my daughter, similar to the previous caller. She broke her scaphoid bone, but was playing netball, basketball, and only hurt when it got banged. So what doesn't hurt when it gets banged? She was showing off and doing, like, the worm or something at school and stubbed it to her.
Yeah.
And she rang me and said, Mum, I've broken my toe and my hand hurts again. And I said, oh, whatever, we'll go to the doctor and get the toe x-rayed and we'll just put the hand to rest because I'm sick of hearing about it.
Yeah.
They didn't worry about the toe. They sent her for an x-ray and called her back and put her hand in a half cast straight away and told me to go to an orthopedic surgeon.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we got a few mothers of the year.
Yeah, don't we?
Yours included.
That was the Cliffo and Bronte podcast.